Change is in an instant, and strange is just on the other side of boring. Everywhere we go, the abnormal slumbers. And whether you're living in the city, relaxing in the country, or traveling the stars, rest assured, friends and others, you're living in the Waffle Timeline. People like to talk about life not being normal. They go on and on about strangers crossing paths and making connections in ways that are abnormal. Strange things happen. People are random, and chaos materializes in many interesting ways. That's just when you consider the realm of the normal. My life can be like that too. A woman from nowhere with helpful advice about a girl I'm having drama with told in the form of a haiku. An old man serving as an example of living life in the moment, barking at geese that are being petulant. The joke the paramedic tells as he begins CPR. These are the little strange things that happen if you're willing to pay attention to the world around you. But when I say life is strange, those aren't the things that I mean. What I mean are the things that seem to just happen to me that are truly outside the normal. One day, I walked through a door and came into the 16th century. It was a crisp fall afternoon. French royal society was nice. The hors d'oeuvres at the party were insane. The stench in the room was unique. I walked through another door and was back in my time. 2 hours had passed and people had been looking for me. They did not believe me. You won't either. That's fine. I've gotten used to it. On another less extravagant version of that day, I walked through a door into a bar in Arizona. Granny Nicole's 87th birthday. The door thing always leads to a party for some reason. Still no clue what the French were celebrating. I once body swapped with a girl I had a crush on. It was an interesting 24 hours with many, many poor decisions made. Some by me and her body. She didn't appreciate the way I spoke to some people at school, much less the clothes I picked that day. Other mistakes were made by her and my body. They were gross, and I try not to think about that deviant too much. Keeps me up sometimes. All this to say, life is weird, truly and deeply strange. The weirdest of these events is always preceded by a visit from a being that refers to itself as God. It likes to come to me in dreams, though once it appeared in a restroom. That time it was right before I had to spend a week running from a shapeshifter that wanted to kill me, or possibly it wanted my shoes. They weren't even nice shoes. The being always seemed to show when something needed to be explained. Not that it ever did a good job doing so. It's a real cryptic thing. Anywho, I find myself in one of those dreams. Oh, not again. I begin to take in my surroundings. You don't like my visits. In this particular dream, we both stood as miles tall giants in a city full of skyscrapers that all came up to our knees. The being had been mildly kicking cars into, and occasionally through, buildings, for what appeared a little while before my arrival. No, I really kinda don't. You know, some would love a life as interesting as yours. That's just because they don't know how much it can suck. So much whining. I glare at the being, who this time has taken the form of a bearded man in a T-Rex costume. The fabric monster's mouth is open to reveal the face it has chosen this time. At least it didn't appear in the smooth, doll form with my mother's childhood face. Disturbing. Well, boring people can be the jealous types. The being claps its hands loudly. On to your next challenge. It's all about perspective, you understand? Perspective? Well, I imagine you don't understand yet. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a lesson, I guess. Are you trying to teach me something? It wasn't uncommon for the being to think that it was somehow guiding me, shaping me into someone it wanted me to be, possibly training me for something it knew was coming. No matter how I looked at it, it was annoying. Everyone needs a lesson from time to time. You, on the other hand, always need a lesson. Too stubborn. Here it came. These dreams always ended this way. A deep feeling of dread followed by this. The bean looked me up and down and began its cackle. It always lasted a bit longer than was comfortable. I just stand there and watch. The first few times it was awkward. Now it made my head hurt. The creature reaches out its hand and snaps impossibly loud. I wake up. I'm completely under the covers. The blanket is heavier than normal. I try to move it off my head. My arm rushes over me, trying to escape the normally light blanket. I fail. Somehow. My arm can't reach the edge. What is it now? I attempt to sit up, but the blanket holds me down. I decide to crawl. After a terrifying run-in with blindness, the ability to see through sonar, and a particularly aggressive giant bat, I prepare for this kind of stuff now. Lots of cardio. I got good at things like parkour. The ability to physically respond always makes these things easier. Also, the abs didn't hurt my self-esteem. I begin to move under the tent that is my blanket. After moving several of my own body lengths in the soft darkness, I wondered what was happening. Also, where's Megan? She was in bed with me last night. It wasn't uncommon for people to get dragged along with me on these forays. The bed, that was starting to seem endless, had a natural incline to the right of me. When I started, it was mild, but now it's almost unavoidable. I try to back away from it, but lose my balance against the tightening blanket. At first, I roll slowly, but as I fall deeper, the incline steepens and I roll faster than I can handle. I turn over myself several times, and all I can think is, "As you wish." I stop abruptly against a wall of some sort, only it's soft, warm, and mildly damp. I can't see much. Only a little light is coming through my fabric ceiling. At least the blanket is no longer holding me down. I run my hands over the newfound boundary. It is insanely soft, yet so familiar, but I can't place it. Only when I find the hair the length of one of my fingers do I begin to understand. She really does love these flannel pajamas. I have an idea, but it could crush me. I decide to take the risk. I push my hand into the wall with as much pressure as I can manage, leading with the edge of my thumbnail. The wall moves, changing the shape of the valley I'm trying to stand in. Here we go. On one hand, she'll roll onto me. On the other, she'll get up. I take a deep breath in anticipation of the pain that might be heading my way. I begin to limber up. A loose body is better in a situation like this than a rigid one. Still, my palms shake with anticipation. She, of course, does neither. She twists quickly from her position to sitting on the bed with her legs crossed. In the fray of things, my body is flung into a wad of blanket. Luckily, the mountain of folded cotton catches me. Nick? Nicholas? I'm still stuck in the folds. Trying to crawl out of this netting is proving difficult. She stands from the bed and walks around to my slippers underneath. They're still on the ground. I never slipped into them. Nicholas? I manage to make it out of that cotton labyrinth and roll onto the mattress. There's actual light for the first time since I woke up. I can finally see it. A blue fitted sheet stretches to the end of the bed. It might as well be 2 football fields away. My head shoots up. The ceiling fan above me also might as well be a space station. Well, my perspective has changed. Nicholas! My ears ring from her booming voice. I'm knocked to the mattress. She moves until her head is a few inches from me. Her eyes are almost as big as my whole body. I can see myself perfectly in their reflection. What's going on? I hold my hands over my ears to drown out some of the sound. She backs away. Why are you like 4 inches tall? I look up to her. She is so high up there. Monstrously tall. Casually stepping over a mountain tall. I don't know.
What?
I don't know.
What?
I just shrug my shoulders. She drops down to almost the height of the bed. So, on a scale of suddenly I'm really good at basketball today to I have leprosy, how bad is this one? Megan is the relationship that I like to refer to as the relationship that just won't end. I keep expecting it to blow up, but it never happens. Traditionally, a woman meets me, likes me, we date, and then something happens and she abandons me. Sometimes they run in terror, like when their cat is eaten by a visiting Neanderthal. Other times, they get fed up with my insane excuses, the way any normal person would. Like when I cancel our date for the fifth time, because that day I had to deal with my apartment being flooded by a freak hurricane in the laundry room alcove. I lost an apartment that day too. I find that if a woman is too smart, she won't believe the crazy things I say. So of course I prefer to date them. Not just because I want what I can't have, but also those are the ladies I'm attracted to. On the other hand, a woman that is too dense will believe all the things I say, but I have almost no interest in them. I once went on a date, and all the dullard had to talk about was an ongoing social feud between two fashion magazines. I tried to care, but there was no wit to the conversation. No passion either. It was like she was reciting a poorly written article she had read on the subject. Anywho, my point is, like most people, when it comes to dating, I'm having a rough time. Which brings me to Megan. We've been dating for about 4 months now, and not for 1 second have I understood her. My first impression was that she is a beautiful airhead. I spent our first date trying to get her to talk about herself. She eventually obliged, but the details lacked a certain follow-through. I don't really get her, so I can't explain. At the end of the date, though, she looked back at me. Sorry, I'm not good at sharing. Also, none of my stories can compete with yours. They're so interesting. My life isn't that exciting. My best story is about a barista giving me extra whip. I still don't understand her, but she might be the first ever to not only believe me, but to also express an interest in my weird life. Also, she undersold that extra whip story. It's hilarious. So, she's kind of stuck around. This is my second longest relationship. She rolls with it. I tell her about leprechauns demanding back their loot, and she says, okay, can I help? I never let her, of course. Too dangerous. Tiny knives. That and no relationship has ever survived direct contact with that side of my life. No one, no matter how pumpkin-brained, sticks around after seeing a car eaten by a jello-like blob monster. There she is, staring at my tiny body, head cocked to the side, hair draped over her ears. From my perspective, it looked like it was raining platinum streaks of blonde. It's a shame this relationship won't last. Maybe direct contact is the best way for this to end. She'll not accept me, and I'll go back to dealing with this inane torrent of ridiculousness by myself. My eyes refocus on the giant a few feet in front of me. What? How bad is this one? I look around and think a moment. Honestly, this one's a bit unique. Did God visit? He isn't God. He's a pain, though. And yes, he visited. What did he say? Everything was tall. We stood like giants over a city. He wore a stupid dinosaur suit. The hint was just the word perspective. Perspective? Perspective. She makes the same face she always makes when I tell her about something that happens to me. I've spent a good chunk of our 4 months together trying to decipher it. At first, I thought it was disbelief. Then, I thought it might be aloof disinterest in who I am. After all, not all dating is about the future. I've spent the last few weeks thinking it might be something like a buffering cursor on your computer when it needs to sort through something. Her head tilts to the final stage of the expression. She is stuck in that a little longer than she normally is. Okay, so what do you usually do next? Every time is different, but I think this is the type of situation where you just go with it. That said, I'd prefer you keep me with you. I don't need a run from the cat Tom and Jerry style problem. I would also like to avoid a raccoon-sized ant. So you want to spend the day with me? I shrug a confirmation. Cool. I just have to get ready. She stands to full height. It creates a mild but noticeable updraft that blows my hair about. Her hand is easily 2 or 3 times my size. The entire world around me is so huge. So much you don't normally see. She leaves the room. I would normally make the bed. I can't even move the blanket. I abandon that idea. I'm helpless. I'm annoyed. I'm also mostly naked. Sure, I have my pajama bottoms on, but it was hot last night, so I discarded my shirt. I won't fit anything in my closet. I guess I get to ride this one out a bit cold. Megan returns, after a shower. I'm sitting on the bed in the fold of the blanket I fashioned into a seat. Okay. She holds both arms out to her sides and brings them together in a booming clap. If you have to stick with me, then I'll need a way to carry you. I'm thinking you can live in my purse. You being small doesn't mean I can skip work, so you're gonna have to come along. Oh, crap. I forgot about work. I hope Tom doesn't fire me. I think I might already be late, too. Well, it is what it is. It was a good job. Also, you must be freezing. I, by pure coincidence, happen to be moving some of my childhood toys in my car. There's a Ken doll in there, so I might actually have some clothes your size. Sorta. She drops the clothes from above. The shirt is scratchy and kind of looks like the 90s threw up on it. But it's still better than nothing. She helps me into her purse and we leave. Her hand is soft and smells of fruit. Riding in her purse as she walks through the streets is surreal. Children run by her on their way to the nearby school. She holds up her purse tight to her chest. I'm thrown around and hit my head on a loose tic-tac. A squirrel in the distance runs up a tree that towers above us like a skyscraper. The mild-sized buildings around us stretch so high my eyes can't see the tops of them. A shopkeep sprays down the sidewalk. Megan is sprinkled with mist. It might as well be raining for me. A bird flies by. It's so fast that I only see it for a moment, like a flying car begging for police attention. After a while, she gets to her cubicle. The halogen lights are painful. She gently sets me on her desk. She's so careful. I didn't even have to ask her to be careful. She would have to ask me. I walk over to the stapler on her desk and use it as a chair. She starts working on her computer. Office time has never been fast time. I've worked in a few. They each have their own variation of the same background noise. People quietly typing and talking. Watching Megan as she works, I begin to notice a few things. Her face really does never stop making expressions. Here, in this giant carpeted box, she is comfortable. She feels safe enough to let down her guard and show what she's thinking clearly on her face. The switches were random. From my view, I couldn't see what she was reacting to, but I knew what she was feeling. I could see the anger as, perhaps, her boss made a ridiculous demand. The frustration built in her as the day went by. Without much warning, there would be a change to happiness. A cat video or some such would be playing, or she had turned on a game of Tetris. The thing that surprised me the most was she didn't seem bothered by her 4-inch boyfriend staring at her from a swing line knockoff. The day kept going like this. Time seemed to lose meaning. I became aware of my own breathing. A fly landed in the distance. It was the size of a house cat. I wondered if my size would make it easier to kill, or harder. At least it wouldn't be able to land on me. All at once, the whole desk, and therefore the ground beneath me, shook violently. A paper fell from the shelf above, knocking me to the ground. So, an unfamiliar voice boomed above me. What's the latest on your weird boyfriend? Did he bail on you again? Oh, great. I have a reputation. I stay still. I don't need this busybody seeing me. No, he made it last night. He even cooked. I breathe in deep. I never see the damage my damage does to others. Was the meal any good? He tried. She said it was the best meal she'd had in weeks. I knew the garlic was too much. I wish my boyfriend cooked some. He does always show, though. Trade-offs. Natalie. Yeah, too far. I just wanted to hear the crazy story he came up with. Your guy is the best liar. What was that one? A frog ate his car keys? He had pictures. Photoshop, Megan. It's not hard. It's how I have a pic of me kissing all those stars. A moment of silence passed. Fine, I'll go. You're no fun today. She lifts the paper and leans in. For the record, I don't talk about you that much. Her eyes are big. Clearly, she did talk about me that much. Everyone needs to vent. It's okay. I can't keep eye contact. Sorry I don't make it for most of our events. Oh my God, will you stop apologizing? You go overboard each time. I get it. It takes a minute, but I look back up. So the garlic was too far? No, the meal was great. The bell pepper was a little burnt, but it was good. She's just a boyfriend thief, so I have to make you sound worse than you actually are. I like some char on my peppers. Maybe it's a me thing. It's lunchtime. Well, close enough. And I have an idea. My stomach growls. I ate some of a grape and most a cracker for breakfast. It was far from the best meal I've ever had. Also, the little flecks of salt on the saltine are inedible when they fit perfectly in your palm. Megan swoops me up in her purse with the accuracy and care I'd come to expect. So, you said in the dream you stood over a city as a giant, right? I nod my head from inside her purse, cradled between a leather wallet and her mascara. I work in a tall building. There's a garden up there to eat. Maybe looking down will trigger whatever is supposed to happen. She's still thinking of this like a video game. Admittedly, it does seem to work that way. I had expected my size to change how the elevator ride felt. Instead, it is pretty much the same experience. Except I was riding in my girlfriend's purse. The door slid open, letting in a burst of earthy smell. She steps into the garden. It is magnificent. So much color. Old, weathered wooden benches atop a pebbled floor, next to raised flower beds that extended around the whole roof. Each one is full of so many flowers. So many different little things. It makes me wish I knew more about flowers. The tree in the center's branches stretched over the whole area, providing shade and the occasional fruit. The whole thing is encased in several layers of vine-wrapped trellises. It's like all the air I've been breathing for the last few days was bad, and I couldn't tell until I smelled this good air. The headache I didn't even notice I had begins to drift away. As I stare at the garden, Megan has her sight trained on one thing in the distance. She walks quickly by all the wooden log-sealed beds and straight past the flowering vines on the trellis walls, right up to the plain concrete fence on the edge of the top of the building. It overlooked the city. She could see for miles. I could see the determination in her eyes. I follow her view to the city. A scored mango stretched further than my tiny eyes could see. The scope of it, the whole thing. Sometimes I stop to think about all the effort, time, and ingenuity that goes into each of these things individually and then again as a whole. That still ignores all the cars, bikes, and street vendors that happen in between each building. Even further, what lives underneath all of that in the form of subways. The whole thing is this multi-generational monument to organization and effort. I look back up to Megan, who is still gathering her breath. I wonder if she thinks about this kind of stuff. Probably not. A cloud passes over us and the temperature drops a little. I cross my arms to my chest for warmth. I don't think you realize what life is like for most people. I don't think you could possibly get it. Oh, this conversation. I've had this one before. Never with a girlfriend, though. A cousin once and a friend another time. It's the, your life is interesting, so you don't have the right to complain, argument. It may be one of the most obnoxious views on my life that might exist. if only because it's what people say when they don't get it. My entire life, I've never had anything like this happen. It's been so boring. Here, you have something truly interesting happen to you regularly, and you have no appreciation for it. Interesting? Do you not get how frustrating my life is? Do you not see how it's ruined every relationship I've had? My parents have given up on me. My siblings, who are both younger than me, look down on me and my failure of a life. Because everything is so interesting, I've been stopped from doing anything I've ever set my mind to. I want to buy a car and escape my life. A tornado shoots a flaming cow at it. I meet someone great, yet every time we go to see each other, gravity breaks, and I'm stuck in my apartment for a week. I finally get into college and can study what I want, but surprise, a literal ninja who somehow looks like me punches the dean of admissions in the face. Tell me, how is my life blessed? Everyone's life sucks. I got into college and had to leave because I got sick, and I was still there long enough to rack up a lot of debt. Guys have broken up with me because I said the wrong weird thing. Everyone wants to escape their life. It takes more than a car to do it. It's frustrating. We all want to do stuff and life gets in the way. It stops us all. You aren't special because of that. Your argument is that I'm not special. No, my argument is that having shit get in your way isn't why you're special. That's everyone. My argument is that you don't see your life for what it is. I want to yell. I want to tell her she's known me for 4 months, that a few nights together doesn't mean she knows me at all, but I see Megan's eyes, wide and the mildest glisten to them. She's just trying to help. Being stubborn might win me this conversation, but what does that really get me? Okay. I shiver, even though the cold has passed. Tell me about my life. That's not... Last Thursday, I went to work and nothing of any note happened. On the same day, you helped a talking monkey save the love of his life from the zoo. Sure, you lost your job at said zoo, but you did something real. Do you know how many days of my life end having real meaning? How many days end with me feeling I've accomplished something that matters? It's almost none. I never get to help like you get to. Also, I don't get sweet selfies with me and a top hat wearing monkey. That was a good day. You always talk about your strange misfortunes, but I don't think you ever see your strange luck. Sure, you got fired Thursday, but you had a new job by Saturday. That was insanely fast. It even pays better. In all of our time together, you've had like 10 jobs. All these jobs ended strangely, but every one was readily replaced and was in some way a position I've been a little jealous of. Remember the place you worked at that was like 2 days a week, but still paid like it was 40 hours a week? That's not a thing that happens to people. You told me at least 6 stories about losing cars. One ended with you having no insurance and sitting in the car's burnt carcass. But what? A week later you had a new one? Wasn't it free? I don't know what to say. I want to counter, but each example I think of has a post story. Events that happened because this or that took place. But what came of these events wasn't necessarily so bad. Maybe even great. How many people out there want a life that has meaning? Millions join their country's military because they want to do something important. They're willing to sacrifice all of it just to maybe be a part of what truly matters. Most charities strive for it. Bureaucrats and civil servants. Doctors and teachers. So many working so hard for what regularly falls into your lap. I look at the ground. I feel smaller now than I have all day. But she's right. I see my life wrong. I only see the worst of it. I focus on the inconvenience of the 16th century party, and never the authentic royal level hors d'oeuvres. A shiver runs down my spine, lightly, as I look to Megan. She's backed away from the edge of the roof. A subtle grin accents her beautiful eyes. I slide off the fence to my feet and look down at her while wrapping my hand around the small of her back to pull her in close. I didn't even notice.
I did.
She smiles up at me and brushes a strand of hair off her ear. When?
Around the time you shut up and finally listened to me.
Well, if you spoke up more, I would know to shut up more. I lean in to start a kiss.
Eh, I like your stories.
Her head nestles under my chin. Her lunch ended. I walk home in my pajamas, 90s button up and lack of shoes. I call my boss, Tom. He actually understands. He says, it happens. Not sure that's true. The day's half over, but I can't help but hope for what may come of it. Hello there, my name is Bronson Joseph, and you've just listened to Shrunk by Sheldon Anderson. If you want more episodes like this one, feel free to check out episode 1, Residue. As always, thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.